welcome to the Water from the Rock podcast, where you get a fresh drink for life. This is Tyler Robbins, and with me, as always, is Pastor Robbins.
Hello.
And my assistant, Levi.
Hey.
So we've been talking a lot about different things, such as worship. We covered last week. We've talked about self-image. We've talked about how to raise the family, how to safeguard your marriage, things like that to help you. But today I want to cover something that's kind of important to start your day, how to start your morning right. So, Pastor, first off, let me ask you. I know a lot of people like to read their Bible and pray, but what order should we go about in the morning? I mean, what should be the first thing we do in the morning?
Well, I think that really just, to be honest with you, is a personal preference. What I would recommend is don't roll out of bed and then drop to your knees and start to pray if you're one of those people that goes back to sleep all the time. because otherwise you're just going to be praying and sleeping and praying at the same time. Which, to be honest with you, sometimes is quite the way to pray, but no, it's not the most proper way to pray. But every person is different, so I would find what works for you. But personally, I like to start off the day with going out to pray. But before I do, I'll oftentimes put on scripture to listen to as I'm driving out to pray. I like to go places to pray. I don't necessarily pray just at my house or something like that. So,
do you think we should? I know, like for me, what I'll do is I'll wake up in the morning and then I take a second to actually wake up, and then I go hop in the shower and I listen to the Bible during the shower. Do you think that you should take a shower, or get a cup of coffee or something before you get going?
Again, it doesn't really matter with each person. Whatever works for you. Some people like to just sit on a couch and kind of wake up and have a couple of cups of coffee or a couple of pots or whatever it is it takes for you. And I, on the other hand, am not a coffee drinker. And so, you know, truthfully, I'd like to just I roll right out of bed and get dressed and head right downstairs and get in the truck and go out into the country to pray. And it's usually that time period there that I'm kind of waking up, especially when you go out in Iowa weather and it's, you know, 900 degrees below zero in the middle of the summer. You sure wakes you up in a hurry. So whatever works for you, though, anything, it doesn't matter as long as you can get your mind focused on what it is that you're going to be doing.
Have there been any differences amongst the people in your experience? Has there been any differences amongst the people that wake up and do those things, or as opposed to people that wake up and don't have any morning routine?
I've run across people that they're not really morning people, and it takes them a while to get going. And so I think if you're implying that, to be honest with you, I think that it's important you start your day off right. Otherwise, you're not going to have a very productive day. I know on my days off, whenever I don't really have a structure to follow, I don't really have a guideline to follow, I don't usually have the most productive days. But whenever I start off the day with, this is the plan I'm going to follow, this is the direction I'm going to go, I tend to be the most productive through the day. So, there are some differences I've experienced. But again, people are different, and you got to go with what works for you. That's most productive for you. And sometimes we think that what's most productive for us is just simply really what's most comfortable for us, and that's not always the case. And my pastor said years and years and years ago is learn to be stretched outside your comfort zone.
Okay.
And if you're not willing to be stretched outside your comfort zone, you're never going to grow.
I see what you mean. Let me ask you this, though. I know that you're not really big on the news right away in the morning. Is that right?
Not normally, no. I don't usually look at the news right away.
Why is that? Do you have any specific reason, or just kind of out of your routine?
Not really my routine. My routine is simply that of just, I really want to spend time with God. If I start looking at the news, my mind starts going that way.
And turns to negative.
Yeah, well, it certainly can, if you look at the news and find out that I won the lottery, then it probably wouldn't turn negative. But then, I guess you'd have to play the lottery to actually win, which I don't do. But I'm just saying, though, that...
you see Bohemian Rhapsody won 4 Oscars?
Is that a song or movie or?
Yeah, it's a movie about Queen.
Okay, I didn't know that. And did they win Oscars then?
Yeah, apparently I saw it in the news this morning. Not the way I wanted to start my morning, but...
You just took me by surprise. Never even heard of it, to be honest with you. So shows you how much attention I paid a lot of that. But I don't really look at much of that away. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. I mean, if you're a kind of person that you like to get up, check the news, that kind of thing. To me personally, I made a decision a long time ago that the first thing I do before I eat, before I shower, before I do anything, the first thing I do, I'm going to pray in the mornings. And okay. That's what I do. That's me personally. That got me way out of my comfort zone because that's not what I'm comfortable doing.
What are some of the things that you pray for in the morning?
You know, to be honest with you, there's a lot that we can talk about that here. And I think we probably will discuss that here in just a minute. But there's a certain way that I pray and a certain kind of pattern that I follow. And I'll get into more of that here in just a little bit. So.
Sure. So I actually wanted to ask a question before we got to that section. I just wanted to say, so I see that you read your Bible first thing in the morning. You listen to it before you go out to go pray. What is your personal preference of things to listen to? Do you think that there's something better you should listen to, like Psalms maybe, or maybe the Gospel? Or, you know, what is something you think you should start your morning with as far as Bible reading goes?
Sure. You know, I don't always start off with Bible. I have it on my cell phone, and I like Alexander Skirby's voice. Mm-hmm. And so I will sometimes, really, to be honest with you, a lot of times I know it sounds strange to some people, but I will oftentimes wake up with verses on my heart.
Oh, yeah.
As if like I had dreamt it all night. You know how mm-hmm. you dream something over and mm-hmm. over and over, and you wake up and you think that's your reality for a little bit? That's how I do with Scripture a lot of times, and I'll wake up with that, and I'll go to that passage and listen to it a bunch of times. Yeah. So I'll do that. Otherwise, just kind of really the kind of spirit that I'm feeling. If I'm feeling, like, for example, like we did the thing on Ecclesiastes here a while back and Solomon and that of, you know, just really a vexed spirit and dealing with vexation and that kind of thing. A lot of that came from waking up in the morning with a real heaviness and a real kind of just a solemn brokenness and mm-hmm. trying to find in the Scripture what God's trying to show me through that. So each time it's just really the leadership of the Spirit. Now, I know there's some people that they like structure and more power to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're the kind of person that you want to read through your Bible in a year, more power to you. You know, follow that plan. I mean, I think we offer one of those on our website, and you can find them pretty much about anywhere on how to read through your Bible in a year, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and some's better than none, yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, in an average Bible, if you'll read most average Bibles, if you'll read 45 pages a day in your Bible, you'll read through your entire Bible in about a month.
Really?
And if you did that 12 times in a year, you'll find that about after the third or fourth month, you'll be talking like Scripture, you'll be dreaming Scripture, and because you're, you know, ingesting about 45 pages of Bible every day.
Plus, and, you always find something new each time you read through it.
Every time you read through it. And that's one of the things that I tell people all the time. They ask me, you know, how should they read their Bibles? Until it speaks to you.
Yeah.
You know, it really, to be honest with you, I think it doesn't do you any good to read through the Bible in a year if you didn't get much of anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, you know, if you're only going to read three verses, then you maybe need to read more. So you just got to read until God speaks to you.
That's actually something I was about to say. So if you only read, you know, two or three verses and all of a sudden you get something from the Lord, go ahead and just shut it down for the day and just meditate on that? Or do you think you should try to finish the chapter?
It depends on the way the Lord's kind of lead me. I mean, you know, one of the things that there's a lot of different ways to study your Bible. And you know, one of the things that I've come across in my personal life is I try to follow the leadership of the Spirit, and for me, I'm more topical, which, you know, obviously you can tell by the way I preach and stuff, and I tend to study topics and that kind of thing, if something speaks to me, I'll probably study more on the topic, what it speaks to me about, rather than necessarily just the passage. Now, on the, like, for example, just the other day, I was studying something, and I was preaching on, I think it was on hope, and so I began to study just on the topic of hope.
Yeah, however, the Dulwich Hope message is really good, yeah.
However, this last Sunday, preaching on you know, what mean these stones, I studied that passage, and then the next chapter, and the next chapter, the previous chapter, over and over and over, and the one thing that really stood out to me probably more than anything on those stones was the fact that right after they had placed those stones, and right after they crossed the Jordan, and God had parted the Jordan for them, was the fact that they had one of the greatest revival meetings they'd ever seen, you know, God, the Bible says he wiped away the reproach of Egypt from them, and that was a life-changing event for them, and I think that's the thing probably spoke to me the most, but it started off with with this thing about the 12 stones standing out to me. It just kept, you know, and then that led to, you know, running across the next chapter. So because I started reading more about that particular passage, it led to the next chapter, which really, God really spoke to my heart, which became, you know, the subject of our sermon this past Sunday.
Sure. So I know that you're a book reader. I know you like to digest different articles and books and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, say, I think I dissect a book. I don't necessarily read it cover to cover. So,
do you think that someone should read, I don't know, like maybe like a devotional book, or like I know that you have a book by Reese Howell's, The Intercessor, you like to read a lot. Are those books that you think you should read before you pray? Do you think you should wait till after you pray? Or do you think that should just be something that you do throughout the day at some point?
To me personally, I think prayer and study is kind of like the meat and potatoes. You know,
okay.
Like for example, if you're the kind of person that you like to eat your baked potato before you eat your steak,
mm-hmm.
or you're the kind of person like to eat your steak and then your baked potato after, you know, whatever works for you, pray first, then study. And to be honest with you, generally you tend to combine them. Once you start to pray, God will give you scripture.
Yeah.
And then once you get into scripture, God will move your heart to pray. You know, they tend to go together really more than anything. And then I'd say study, generally as a rule, study what people say afterwards. But it's not something that has to be set in stone. Sometimes I've read things, like if you read Reese Howell's book on intercessor, you can't hardly get into that book, and next thing you know, you'll find yourself in the Bible.
Really?
So it'll push you to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those things that you just got to be real careful that you don't start getting more of your meat from other men than you are from the Word of God.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Are you reading one thing, or are you bouncing around between multiple books right now?
All the time, multiple books. I mean, somebody asked me one time how many books I read in a year or something like that, and yeah, I have no idea. Maybe 30, 50, 100, I don't know. I mean, right now I'm reading probably about 3 or 4 books, and I can get through 3 or 4 a month maybe. But I kind of more, I peruse a book maybe would be the better way. I speed read a lot, and so then I'll read till something really just kind of captivates me, and then I'll, you know, study on that. But, you know, my pastor used to always say, readers are leaders. And then he said that to a person who hated reading and who hated English class. And you know, I remember having to do book reports, and I wouldn't read the book. And then my mom would be up half the night trying to get me to read just a little bit, to write a little bit. So then, you know, she'd pretty much walk me through, because I hated reading. And now I find myself just indulging most of the time and reading articles, reading periodicals. And I like, to be honest with you, I like Wikipedia a lot.
Sure.
I read umpteen articles on Wikipedia almost every week, and I'll study from Wikipedia a number of times. And not that everything they say on there is factual, but it's more likely to be factual, you know.
So. Not just that, but their historical stuff's usually pretty spot on. I like their
fairly
history.
Fairly decent, yep.
So whoever's listening right now, what would be one book that you think that they should go out and buy, whether it be a seasoned Christian, a newborn Christian, somebody who's just trying to learn about faith? What is a book you think that they should go try to find and read right now?
Oh, good night.
I know it's a hard question, but I think it's one that would be helpful.
It's one of those that it really, I think you need to find something that works kind of where you're at spiritually. You know, I mean, personally, I'm really enjoying a study or reading a book by Andrew Murray. And he was a Christian preacher from the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he speaks on a number of subjects: divine healing, authority, the new covenant, things like that. And I really enjoy reading a lot of what he's written lately. And so right now, that, you know, would be one of his books, maybe. A lot of that stuff, to be honest with you, these old time writers, you don't have to go out and buy them. You can just type in their name, type in the title of the book, and a lot of times they're just PDF files on the internet. You can just read them right there on your computer for free, you know, just via Chrome or whatever, or Edge, mm-hmm. Microsoft Edge, and you can just read them right on a PDF file, like Adobe Acrobat or something like that, and read the book. You know, to be honest, now I back up, okay? Watchman Nee has a book called The Normal Christian Life, and that book there is one of the deepest books that you'll ever come across. And he's not, I don't think, doctrinally correct on everything. There's some things that think are a bit different. But to be honest with you, the guy had a walk with God that I would never criticize him. And so I wouldn't get into an argument doctrinally over things with him, even though you can see a little bit of the charismatic side start to come out and out. But again, he had a spiritual life that rivals most anybody I've ever seen in my entire life. And so I think that would be a good book for somebody to read. But again, you have to have a pretty deep understanding. I have to read it and reread it and reread it. And so
this question that I have kind of goes along with Tyler's question, but what's one of the most influential books for a prayer life that you've ever read?
I can't think of the name of the book off the top of my head. Reece Howell's book, Intercessor, is one of the most powerful books I've ever read on that. And then there was a book, and I can try to find out the information about it, but there was a book where a guy does an exposition, an entire book does an exposition on our exposition of Romans 8, where it says he ever liveth to make intercession. And that was probably one of the biggest life-changing books on prayer that I had read in this century.
Tell me if I'm wrong here, but didn't you say that guy was from like the 1600s and he wrote that book?
No, that guy there was, is it Warren Wiersbe maybe? I don't remember. I think he might have passed away. I can't remember if he was in the 1900s there. He passed away maybe like in the late 80s or early 1990s or something. I can't remember when it was he passed away, but I think it's by Warren Wiersbe. And we'll try to look that up and see if we can find that by the end of the podcast, the name of that book is. But that was one of the most powerful books I'd read. Of course, Intercessor was one of the most powerful ones I'd read on prayer. But there's a number of different ones. I can't remember, is it Henry Scougal has one? And some of these guys are really, really good stuff.
Gotcha. So back to the U.S. question you asked a few minutes ago about prayer. What do you think are some of the things that we should cover in our prayer life? What are the things that we should be praying for every day? How do you structure your prayer? How do you go through and layer your prayer?
Okay, one of the things that I learned, and this is pretty common teaching really, to be honest with you, in a lot of the Christian world, you'll run across it. And one of the things that I had taught in our church is that if you look at the Lord's Prayer, okay, Jesus said, he says, don't pray vain, repetitious prayers, all right?
Sure.
So he says that the heathen do. Now what that means is don't be just repeating words. See, prayer is heart communication between you and God.
Yeah, right? That's exactly
and,
what it is, yeah.
So it isn't necessarily the words that you say. It's what's going on in your heart. So people will buy these books of prayers and they'll say, oh, these books of prayers are so great to pray. But it really isn't the words that you're saying, it's what your heart is saying. So he says don't pray vain, repetitious prayers, but he says to pray in this manner. And then if you break down what we call the Lord's Prayer, which, you know, I know you go to some churches and they might, you know, you walk in and everybody says, let's say in Our Father, and then Our Father which art in heaven, I'll be thy name. And they'll go through it all, okay? And I appreciate that, but I don't think that's really the intention. I think he said pray in this manner. And so if you look at it, he breaks it down into four ways to pray. Now, the average person today, to be honest, is more about themselves, but it's the wrong way. So whenever somebody asks me, you know, how should I pray? Well, don't be a selfish prayer and pray about your selfish things. However, though, that's exactly what they're kind of supposed to do. So they'll take that and they'll start, well, I'm going to start praying for other people. Okay, I'm going to pray for other things. However, though, that's not really the plan, okay? The way that God intended was this, is it should start off, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, he says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the first part of your prayer should be that of, you know, who's God? He's hallowed. Mm-hmm. He's in heaven, but he also lives in your heart if you're born again, okay? So you have God right here present inside of you right now if you're a born-again believer. But he also, his abode is in heaven, okay? He abides up there. And so, therefore, you spend time praising him for who he is. So it should be, hallowed be thy, you know, thy name, and you know, God, you're glorious. And so spend time praising God. The way that your prayer should be always should be upward first, and that's a praising God and glorifying him and thanking him. I think at this time period, you want to thank the Lord. Sure. Yeah, you want to spend time just thanking him for being so good. You know, God, thank you for, I oftentimes will thank God for answered prayers that I haven't got answers to yet, but because I know he's faithful. You know, I know he's going to answer because he's faithful. You know, and I hope he answers the way I'm asking for. But
it's kind of an out-of-the-box concept. Most people think about that.
But that's what faith is. You know, Abraham called things that be not as though they were, the Bible says. You know, so that's true. What it should be. So I spend time thanking God. And I think that once you do that, you're going to really start to get into the Spirit. And I think you're not going to be effective in your prayer life until you get in the Spirit. And once you get into the Spirit of God, and now you're praising Him, now you're glorifying Him, and now you're lifting Him up, then there comes that of Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it's being done in heaven, He says. So then it should be now a downward submission on your part. God, Your will be done here as it's being done on earth as it's being done in heaven. So Lord, I want to do Your will for my life. And I want to be submissive to You. So, Lord, today I give You my day. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and He will establish your thoughts. So, God, I submit myself to You. I surrender myself to You. I commit myself. I commit my day, my works. I commit those to You. And so now, in submission, and this is where you just surrender things. And, all right, God, You're in charge of my day to day. You know, oftentimes, I remember when I first got started in the ministry, when we were starting church in Missouri there, I remember thinking, you know what, just as a soldier reports for duty every morning, that's what I need to do every morning. I need to show up and find out what the orders are and do those. And so this is submission. This is where you surrender. And then he says, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as being done in heaven. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, we forgive our debtors. So now it should be more of an inward part where now you're praying and saying, God, I have needs. You know, but the needs that you have aren't necessarily, God, I need enough money to pay my bills this week, or I need, you know, formula for the baby, or God, you know, I've got this itch that just won't go away, or this pain in my back that just won't, you know, heal. It's not necessarily that, but you have spiritual needs. You have emotional needs. You've got things that are blocking God's flow in your life that you'd not confess. So forgive us our debts. And so, God, you know, it's not so much that, Lord, will you give me this, will you give me that, but it's more of, God, will you give me the faith to believe you for these things? Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
And so now, you know, God, give me the faith to believe you to see somebody saved or whatever, and give me the faith to believe you for the provision of the money that I need this week or whatever, you know, our daily bread. And then finally, he says, forgive us our debts, we forgive our debtors, and then lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Okay, so now it should be that of lead us not in temptation. Lord, as I go out and be a witness for you, and as I go out and be a testimony for you, and as I go out and serve you, Lord, help me, Father, guard me against temptation. Guard me from evil. Keep me from falling. Lord, keep me safe in these things. God, help me to be able to be the bright, shining light and not get trapped in that. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And
that makes perfect sense.
Get trapped in something that, you know, will cause me to diminish my faith or diminish your name. And so I think that's the way you should pray. And so as I do that, I'll pray for other people. I'll pray for ministries and missions and that kind of thing.
Okay. Real quick here, we only have time for only one more question here. So just real quick, what do you think is a good time amount that you should pray?
Well, Jesus had said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And so I think that that's a good thing to try to follow. And so if you can squeeze, you know, an hour into time of prayer and time of study, then I think you'd do that. You know, obviously, pastor's going to spend a lot more time. Sometimes, you know, if you just have a little bit of time going to work. But you need to make sure you have enough time where you get in touch with the Spirit of God, and then you pray about all the things God wants you to pray about. It's good to have a list to follow and things that God's had you praying about, but make sure that you have enough time to be able to pray about those things. So I recommend at least a half an hour in prayer, but an hour would be more better.
More better. Gotcha. Yeah.
More better.
And now I see where I get it. Yeah. Well, anyway, I want to thank you for coming in today and just to talk to us about prayer and how to start our day. Thank you very much, Pastor.
Absolutely.
And I also want to thank our assistant Levi for coming in. I know he's cutting it close for work. Thanks for coming in.
No problem.
All right, so anyway, let me go ahead and tell you guys, we're going to be rolling out a couple new programs here. We're going to try to change things up a little bit here, and we're looking to do a promotion here real soon. So stay tuned, stay in contact here. Hopefully this has really been a blessing for you. I've really enjoyed doing these podcasts, but if If you ever want to be in contact with us, if you want to tell us about something the Lord's done in your life, how the podcast has helped you, if you just want to seek out counsel, or if you have anything that you want us to pray for, feel free to contact us. You can contact us through my Twitter account. That's at Tyler Robbins, TylerRobbinz. You can also give us a phone call. Our phone number is 641-228-5362. You can write snail mail to us at 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa, 50616. Otherwise, you can also email us at fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com, or you can reach us through our website, bytheblood.org. Once again, I just want to thank you for tuning in today. I hope that the Lord has really blessed you with this, because I know that just reminding me how to start my walk is always a huge blessing to me. This is Tyler Robbins. I just want to remind you that the Lord loves you. Have a great day.